KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. As Israel and Iran enter their second week of fighting, Israel says it intercepted 40 drones overnight. Iran says at least 400 people in the country have been killed in Israeli strikes. Where does the U.S. stand? ABC's Rachel Scott has more.
As President Trump decides whether the U.S. will take direct action on Iran, the president clearly showing he does not agree with his Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, who said in recent weeks the intelligence community has no evidence Iran is building a nuclear weapon at this point.
She's wrong.
A source familiar saying in the room, Gabbard argued that Tehran is not close to building a bomb, reaffirming her Capitol Hill testimony just months ago.
Tens of millions of Americans said to be affected by severe heat. There are extreme heat warnings for Chicago, St. Louis, and Milwaukee today. 8 people were killed when a hot air balloon with 21 on board caught fire in southern Brazil. This is ABC News. Lawmakers in Rhode Island passed a bill that would ban the sale of assault-style weapons in the state. Rhode Island's Democratic governor says he plans to sign it into law. Federal judge approved a $7 billion settlement for OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma to settle thousands of lawsuits over the toll of addiction. Settlement now sent to local governments and other people affected for approval. AAA is projecting the busiest Independence Day ever, says ABC's Clara McMichael.
In the new 10-page indictment,
according to AAA's Aixa Diaz, over this 4th of July holiday,
more than 61 million people are taking road trips.
The busiest days?
Wednesday, July 2nd and Sunday, July 6th.
You'll want to leave as early as possible.
Ideally before 11 a.m., preferably even earlier than that.
Make sure before you head out,
plan ahead by checking your vehicle before you hit the road.
Clara McMichael, ABC News.
I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us now.
3 in 4 people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big, brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. A new effort is helping Wisconsin farmers protect water quality in their communities. Judith Ruiz Branch has more.
A joint effort is helping Wisconsin farmers protect water quality in their communities by learning more about how to prevent manure and fertilizer spills and runoff. The Nutrient Management Farmer Education Program is a collaboration across 6 counties in northern Wisconsin with partners from the University of Wisconsin, technical colleges, and the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. It helps farmers properly manage manure and fertilizer applications to optimize crop growth while protecting water sources. Athens dairy farmer Wayne Gajewski says one of the biggest benefits is the collaborative aspect, where farmers learn as much from the instructors as they do from each other.
I think it's a win-win. It's good for farmers, it's good for the environment, and it's good for the public in general, because farmers are trying to be as efficient as they can and, you know, without polluting or doing any harm to the environment.
State law requires farmers to develop and follow nutrient management plans to minimize their environmental impact. Gajewski says the training enables them to create these plans independently, reducing reliance on potentially costly external services. Kirk Langfoss is a conservation analyst with Marathon County. He says the grants allow them to offer incentives to farmers and help cover their tuition.
They can get up to $750 reimbursement on soil testing. They can get
payments to do manure testing. They commit to between 8 and 12 hours a year when they come to the class, so it reimburses them for their time.
Agriculture spills have been prevalent across Wisconsin, with one reported last month in Monroe County. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shally Pittman.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Northern Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Heat warnings are in effect for today. We'll have a high near 90 degrees. Southwest winds up to 30 miles per hour. Add in some humidity and it feels like over 100 at times. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-70s and still breezy.
Currently, 78 degrees.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I welcome the Green Bay Automobile Gallery's Daryl Burnett. And we rank our all-time favorite summer blockbuster movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your recordings. This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside the luxurious, the ever tan in the sun, the travel the state, stick your hand under rocks, rappel down mountains, bungee jump, jump out of planes.
Heck yeah.
You name it. Her name's Danielle Fairman, and she rocks and rolls around the state just like Elvis. And I have the joy.
Jolvis.
That was
there.
A nickname in college. You know that, right?
Oh, yes.
I think Jolvis. He just made it up.
I promise you.
It was.
Some guys called me Elvis in his later years. I don't know. Was that an insult?
I don't know. Maybe it's the hair. You have,
is
hair.
It a
you have good
it
hair.
It is a little bit Elvis-y. And I would wear one of those cape things with the sequins and stuff. Those are cool.
Is it a nickname if you start it yourself?
That was an insult.
The bat, ladies and gentlemen, the chefferie of Raised in Wisco.
The insultery.
The best cook I've ever met.
Oh, no.
Thanks, Joel.
No doubt about it.
Your mom.
Well, ooh, my mom's in a category by herself.
Oh, no offense.
But
she
is in a directed category. She's a little Italian mom, first generation
she's
American.
She's wonderful.
Yes, she is.
And her cooking is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to an actual chef, I got to tell you, the award-winning, classically trained French culinarian Chef Ellie Lawton is part of the show, and we are awfully lucky about that because she's phenomenal. And although it has made us all a little fatter and closer to diabetic, we get to
not
eat.
Not my problem.
I mean, I feel it's kind of made me healthier, too, though.
Well, we do eat healthy food. She does use very healthy ingredients.
Not today. Not today.
Looking at the table right now. Not
Chef
today.
Chef Marie brought the taco genneries.
Oh, but you got to every once in a while, you have to appreciate good culinary fast food, and Taco John's is up at the top of the list for me. It really is.
I will forever and always disagree with you guys. I do not understand your fascination with Taco John's.
Whoa,
you don't,
the
Danielle,
bean and meat paste.
It is. No. They've got like a...
so appealing.
Like a meat paste.
We don't need to listen. We're outdoorsmen. We eat all of the animals and all the things.
Yes,
and a little bean and meat paste doesn't scare us.
I think that whatever Taco John's uses for their beef is probably just barely a step above FDA approval. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. But man, oh man, it is tasty.
Oh,
and
yes.
It is pasty also.
It's in the good.
In the fishbowl is Jacob. We're actually in the fishbowl and Racine at WAUK, which is awesome. Love having you with us. I'm really excited tonight because this is a symbiotic relationship we have.
Oh.
Chris Casper is our guest tonight.
Hello.
And not only did he and I meet and kind of become fast friends, but he's really my boss at the station. He's one of my bosses at the station.
Oh, good grief. I am not.
Sorry, well, Chris. Sorry, you have to handle that. Sorry, you have to deal with that.
Chris and I got to talk, and he came, helped us set up the Fishbowl WFSH in Concord, Wisconsin, you know, from the museum room.
I love that room. It's a nice room.
Fantastic room. Great for radio.
Sometimes it's called
a secret door. Yeah, that's right. Door. Hey, well, it's not secret anymore, Chris. It's not. It's not a secret. And I never call.
Is Becky aware of that door?
I don't call it a man. I don't call it a man room either, because I think that there are just as many women who go in that room as men.
Yeah. Okay.
Is Becky aware of that?
Oh, gosh.
Danielle, I think we could just stay out of this conversation.
I feel like we need to be over here.
Oh, boy. You can't win.
Danielle, just eat the Taco Johns and smile.
Yes, Chris, dear.
Chris and I met and became friends and realized we have a whole lot in common in our love for the outdoors. I think he left my home that day with about 30 to 40 pounds of wild game meat.
Even better.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% true.
And I then, in the following weeks, I started getting photographs of him of some of the awesome stuff he was cooking.
Ooh.
So I said, I said, please come on the show. I know, I mean, it's not often I get to have folks who work for Civic Media on the show with me. I did a little bit with Maggie Dawn once. She came on my show. I went on hers with Danielle. And now we got Chris Casper on the show. And I want to know, Chris, we're gonna do a lot of culinary today. That's for sure.
Shucks. This sounds horrible.
I'm into it.
Yeah, that doesn't sound horrible. And you know, that's the number one thing I get from people I run into saying, "Yeah, I really liked when you guys talked about this recipe. I love that you guys eat all the time. You guys seem so excited about eating." Well,
yes, we are.
You don't get this way because you're afraid of food. All right, that's all I have to say about that. But Chris, I wanted you to tell me a little bit about some of your history in the Wisconsin outdoors and what makes you love it as much as you do and how cool it is that it ended up in a symbiosis for us to have you on our show.
Well, I'm going to come right out and say it. I'm actually from Minnesota. So I grew up in Minnesota.
It's okay.
I always say I'm so scony. I'm from Minnesota.
That makes sense. That actually
makes sense.
My mom
saw the movie Fargo and she was offended. Like, we don't talk like that. I'm like, we talk like that, Mom.
Ooh, are we going to do accents today on the show? I love accents.
You do them every week.
You know,
that's true.
So my into that world was for sure through the Boy Scouts of America, and I spent my entire childhood until I was at age 18 growing up in that world. And we did a camping outing every month of the year, whether it was below zero or 100 degrees. And that's we were taught to leave things as good or better than you found them. And I spent my life growing up in that world. And that's very, very, very important to me.
Oh, so I have to ask the question. You stayed until you were 18. Did you become an Eagle Scout?
I became very, very close. I ran out of time because I was very involved in sports and athletics and other things.
Yes.
I missed it by a few months. I actually do have the award of merit and honor from the Boy Scouts of America.
Wow. That is a very highly acclaimed award.
There are one of those given out for every 10,000 Eagle Scouts. So
10,000?
I have that. Yep. Yeah. I have one of those plaques hanging on my wall in the studio
at
home.
Awesome.
It's a very big honor.
I love that. Joel has his canoe badge.
I do have my. She's not joking. I have my canoe.
You talked to us last week about it.
But this is exciting to me because this is what Raised in Wisco is about, finding commonalities among the folks who love the outdoors of Wisconsin. And I want to talk for just a minute, and it's not going to be, I mean, you think, oh, Boy Scouts, that's a boring conversation. A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Okay?
Clean.
Now say it backwards.
It backwards.
Oh,
that's all I got. I was in your same spot, Chris. I was a life scout, and I ended up with the time running out. I was 2 merit badges and a service project short of becoming an Eagle Scout, and I sure wish I had become an Eagle Scout. But one thing I want to talk about with the Boy Scouts is that was a place I really got my roots, in the outdoors of Wisconsin. Oh man, I look forward to those jamborees and the camping. And I don't think we give enough time and credit on this show to camping. And I want to tell you that camping, if you are an outdoors person in Wisconsin, if you love fishing, mm-hmm. if you love hiking, if you love hunting, and if you love culinary,
mm-hmm.
Boy Scouts is a great way to start. And camping is at the root of that, because the Wisconsin campgrounds have been absolutely integral in my childhood and being able to understand the outdoors. Not only do you get to know what there is to do, but you learn what is forageable. You can fish at almost every campground in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
A lot of campgrounds in Wisconsin, you can hunt on adjacent lands out in Ottawa. Oh,
absolutely.
All over the place.
I'm out beautiful there all campgrounds. The time.
Was camping something important to you, Chris, growing up?
100%. That was a huge part of my upbringing. And like I said, I've camped outside 50 times when the temperature was below zero and vice versa when it was 90 some degrees above zero. And as in Minnesota, we say it's not so much that heat, it's that gosh darn humidity.
I feel like that's everywhere.
Everybody says that, but I'm not 100% true. That's completely factual. I was in Arizona once, and it was about 110 degrees out and dry as a Pop-Tart, and I was still melting.
Dry as a Pop-Tart.
Oh, my goodness.
110 degrees is still 110 degrees.
I have a question about the Eagle Scouts situation. You both ran out of time. That just means that you turned 18, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
100%
bummer.
Correct.
You cannot be a Boy Scout if you're 18.
And yeah, because then it'd be Man Scouts. Remember, Danielle?
Yeah, Man Scouts.
There was a period in Danielle's life where she was interested in Man Scouts.
No, she wasn't.
Oh, here we go.
Joel, do you think that Danielle and I would have been kicked out of Girl Scouts?
I don't know.
I think we would have set a new path on Girl Scouts.
Yeah, a new
path.
Well, yes. I know this about you, Chef Lawton. You would have sold the most Girl Scout cookies. That I do
for
know.
For sure. Yes.
You are she's a salesman and a culinary. So.
I'm a sales. Are you kidding me? I'm a fantastic
Danielle,
salesman.
I think we would have won all the awards for selling cookies for sure.
Luke, Josh's youngest, he had to go sell those tickets for the raffle for his
and
trip.
And you sold them for him.
I just took over.
That doesn't surprise me.
I got
$1,000
in 2 days.
I think sales is in your future.
No.
Why?
No. I like dirt work.
Okay.
Well, sales can be dirt work.
It could be. Okay. Continue to Eagle Scouts.
So
moving on. Well,
but I was going to say there's a common saying in Boy Scouts. The only reason, if you're serious about being a Boy Scout and you don't get your Eagle badge, it's for one of two reasons, and they're both fumes. One is gasoline fumes and one is perfume. And you can get a little distracted by both. If you get into cars, I mean, because you're at that point where you can drive when you turn 16. And all of a sudden, I don't know why, but the ladies become interesting and
weird.
And then you run out of time.
And you run out of time.
Quote, run out of time. Oh, bummer.
No, hey, and I've found the cool part is I've found a way, you know, having been in the legislature, I found a way to keep a connection with Boy Scouts. I got to go and present awards to them, present mm-hmm. Eagle Scouts and present merit awards throughout that. So that was actually a pretty cool part of my life all the way through. Chris, any specific memories of a great camp out?
Well, the biggest memory was getting caught in Hurricane Andrew in 1991 or two.
That's what I wanted you to bring up, Chris.
Oh.
That was like a lawyer. I brought it up, but we're going to have to continue the conversation in a minute. But I want to talk with Chris about his harrowing experience in the Boy Scouts. And plus, we've got our weekly WISCOs to do, and we're going to talk about a lot of food. We're going to go through favorite foods, and you're going to learn Chef Lawton, Danielle, Chris, and my favorite casseroles today, and we're going to explain to you how to make them. Chris Casper's our guest. We got Jacob in the fishbowl, Ellie Lawton, the chef, Danielle Fairman, my co-host, and I'm Joel Clayfish. This is Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
There's no better place to catch Brewers baseball than right here. Every pitch, every hit, every home run.
And a fly ball to right center. Malloy is back, and this one is good again for Hoskins.
We've got the action all season long. Turn it up. Brewers baseball lives on your local Civic Media radio station. 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation, and your home for the Brewers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Voting Rights Lab reports there were 59 state bills introduced on proof of citizenship for voter registration this year, and 160 bills concerning voter ID. A handful have made it near the finish line, but not all have passed. Since President Donald Trump's baseless accusations of mail-in voting fraud in 2020 and his unfounded claims of widespread non-citizen voting in the 2024 election, Republican-dominated legislatures have raced to pass stricter voter ID and proof of citizenship laws, despite no widespread abuse of either. In New Hampshire, versions of SB 218 were advanced, requiring submission of ID and proof of citizenship for absentee registration, and are now in a committee of conference. In Texas, a high-priority documentary proof of citizenship bill died without action at the end of the session. In Texas alone, there were 15 bills introduced to provide documentary proof of citizenship and 10 tightening voter ID laws. Nevada Governor Joe Lombardo surprisingly vetoed a bipartisan voter ID bill attempting to codify a widely supported ballot initiative. Democrats negotiated expanded ballot drop boxes in exchange for supporting voter ID. His veto statement said the bill did not address implementing voter ID for mail-in ballots. Wyoming and Indiana passed proof of citizenship earlier this year. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I kissed her and she kissed me.
Man, that makes me want a foxtrot. I'll tell you that. Speaking of fox.
Do you want a foxtrot?
I've never hunted a fox before.
Oh.
Successfully. I would like to hunt a fox. But you should. I do. But I do eat everything that I kill, so I would have to try to eat fox. That would be a little strange.
We had a fox with not good health conditions in my backyard about a month ago.
Oh. Oh, bummer.
That's a bummer. Did he have mange?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, that's the most common one that the canine species get that you can kind of see, I would say. Folks, joining us, this is Raised in Wisco, your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of Wisconsin. We love having you along. We talk about food every week. Very clearly, we love food. Food's my favorite dish. Never met a food I didn't like. Danielle Fairman is my co-author of this show. So if you don't like how it's written, blame her.
Yes, please.
And Chef Ellie Lawton is the editor. So if it's
well, that makes sense, actually.
It kind of does make editor, auditor, you name it. Fill in the blank. Chris Casper's our guest today. Works for Civic Media. He's kind of one of the big wigs, so I got to make sure that everything goes smoothly with today's show. Chris, we went into the break, and I want to tease this because I want folks to understand. Chris had a camping experience in a class 3 or 4 hurricane.
Category five
hurricane. But we're gonna ease into that segment because we're gonna do our weekly Wisco. Woo-hoo! Wisco. Ooh. We should have a jingle for weekly Wiscos. Wouldn't that be cool?
Sure.
Maybe we should write one. That'd be fun.
You're pretty good at jingles.
Danielle.
Hi.
I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle. What's your weekly Wisco?
My weekly Wisco is my birthday month.
Oh, I'll take that. And as a matter of fact, Danielle's birthday was a mere 5 days ago, last Tuesday. So we're wishing Danielle a fantastic 29th birthday. And we hope that she has a fantastic, wonderful year. This, for those of you who don't know, is also my birthday month.
I hope you both been celebrating every day.
I have been celebrating often.
Oh, I love birthdays.
I love celebrating birthdays.
Yes.
I had mine at the beginning of the month, so I felt initially a little bit guilty about celebrating my birthday after my birthday.
No.
Why?
I don't feel that way anymore.
Good.
I am celebrating every day of my birthday month.
Absolutely.
The part I'm worried about that is like once the month ends, then I'll be really bummed. I'm worried because I want birthday July too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So for my birthday, I busted out my kayak, gave her a good rinse down with Wabam, and been out kayaking.
Nice.
Like multiple times a week.
I gotta ask.
Wabam
is like cooking oil?
Yes, I rub cooking oil all over my kayak at night and
so glad you have water.
Yeah, I talk sweet music to it or talk sweet things to it. Yes, no. Wabam is like the greatest cleaning solution for your cars, for your house.
I've heard of Kaboom. Wow. I've never heard of Wabam.
Wabam.
Okay. Is that like the generic version of Kaboom?
No.
Kaboom's pretty generic already.
Oh, my goodness.
You both stay up late on the shopping network, don't you?
So you want to know the best? Because Wabam, we used it at my old company, Rams. We used it on the cleaning the equipment and everything on the inside. And I fell in love with it. And I was at Chicken Fest 2 years ago. For my birthday, I know.
Okay, this all sounds fake.
Is this all going to be full circle?
This all sounds so fake.
And somebody was walking by, and they had a Wabam shirt on for the cleaning stuff. And I was like, oh, Wabam, that's the greatest name ever. Like I started telling them about the cleaning solutions and all that kind of stuff. But it turns out it was actually the founders of Wabam. So
Wabam.
And they didn't offer you a sales job?
Did you get a sponsorship out of this?
They actually live 2 doors down, or... Like, well, two doors down, so it's like a mile away.
Oh, wow.
And I got a bunch of free products.
It's
product.
Like you wondered what it was about, and wha-bam, they told you.
This is way more exciting for me than it is for you guys.
I can't help this because I have a theory that everybody has a different sound for what it makes when you fire a gun.
Oh, wait, what?
Everybody has a different way they say when I fire a gun, if someone says, if you're going through a hunting story and you say you're fired a gun, I always say, that's what my sound for firing a gun is. But everybody has a different story. And my college roommate, Matt, when he fires a gun, he says, fwabap.
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 Wow.
And so I want to know what everybody's sound is for when they're describing firing a gun. Danielle, what's yours?
Kaboom.
Kaboom.
I don't know. You
have described shooting something before and you've made the fire sound.
Well, I can't think of mine right now.
What is yours, Chef Lawton?
Since we're talking about cleaning, mine's wax on, wax off.
What?
I can't think of mine, honestly. I think...
Kaboom! Yeah.
Stoop. That's one of my friends from...
maybe like pew pew? I don't know.
Pew pew.
What did I shoot my BB
Chris
gun?
Chris Casper, what's yours?
Pew pew.
See?
I have a funny story of an ex-girlfriend that told me one morning dreaming in your sleep, and she was like, you were like, pew, 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 in your dream. And that's
you were
the funniest thing ever.
Salming in your if you could see Chris, he just did finger guns while he was describing the pew, pew.
If that isn't funny, I don't know what it is.
That's pretty funny.
Danielle, you took this train right off the tracks, girl.
No, I did.
Right to a Bam Mountain.
Ellie Lawton, what's your weekly whisko?
I did not wax my kayak. I rode my horse.
Ooh, that's
I did not think you
one.
Were going to say kayak after wax my, but.
You yeah. meant car.
Yes,
and I didn't ride a sideways banana. Mine was the beauty of going down the road. I still scout when it's not hunting season and seeing all of the baby fawns with
so
their
cute.
Mom deer.
And the goslings.
Oh, so beautiful. And goslings and baby ducks.
I
it was
traffic.
Phenomenal. Chris, give me your weekly whisko.
I'm not sure what you're asking me.
Something Jeez. You did in the outdoors. We'll get to that. And a hurricane during a camping trip. This is Raised in Wisco.
Tell me quick. Another kick in the head.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. As Israel and Iran enter their second week of fighting, Israel says it intercepted 40 drones overnight. Iran says at least 400 people in the country have been killed in Israeli strikes. Where does the U.S. stand? ABC's Rachel Scott has more.
As President Trump decides whether the U.S. will take direct action on Iran, the president clearly showing he does not agree with his Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, who said in recent weeks the intelligence community has no evidence Iran is building a nuclear weapon at this point.
She's wrong.
A source familiar saying in the room, Gabbard argued that Tehran is not close to building a bomb, reaffirming her Capitol Hill testimony just months ago.
Tens of millions of Americans set to be affected by severe heat. There are extreme heat warnings for Chicago, St. Louis, and Milwaukee today. 8 people were killed when a hot air balloon with 21 on board caught fire in southern Brazil. This is ABC News.
The crew crushed the Twins.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers in Minnesota this weekend for a series against the Twins. We'll have a recap of today's game coming up tonight. Last night, the Brewers jumped out to a 12-0 lead. They went on to win by a final score of 17-6. Christian Yelich set a franchise record, knocking in 8 runs batted in. And 23-year-old pitcher Jacob Mizorowski, in only his second start, had a no-hitter for the crew going into the 7th. Manager Pat Murphy says the kid talked him into going back out there one last thing before he gave up that 2-run homer in the 7th.
Absolutely. He was adamant. He wanted to go out for 7 ups. I want to challenge myself. Yes, I'm getting towards the end, but I want to challenge myself. And it was a good time to have him do that.
Did you tell him in advance he'd have a short leash going back out?
Yeah.
So in his first 2 starts, Mizorowski did not allow a single hit through the first 11 innings of his career, the first pitcher to do so in 125 years of professional baseball. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Believe it or not, Hollywood is making a sequel. In this case, it is the 4th in a series of Meet the Parents films. The Hollywood Reporter says Owen Wilson has officially signed on to the project, joining Ben Stiller, Robert De Niro, Terry Polo, and newcomer to the cast, Ariana Grande. It's always nice to have a fresh face. Paramount Pictures is teaming up with Universal for the latest installment, which is co-written by John Hamburg, who also co-wrote the previous 3 films and will direct this new chapter. If you listen to Nightlight here on the Civic Media Radio Network, you've probably heard me talk about this franchise quite a bit, as it was started by frequent guest and writer Greg Gliena, whose $50,000 independent film ended up at Universal Studios and is now one of the highest-grossing live-action comedy franchises ever. Meet the Parents is expected to hit theaters Thanksgiving of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Northern Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Heat warnings are in effect for today. We'll have a high near 90 degrees. Southwest winds up to 30 miles per hour. Add in some humidity and it feels like over 100 at times. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-70s and still breezy.
Right now, it's 82.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
There's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend news headlines and also State Senator Kelda Royce. Will the Joint Finance Committee actually meet this week? She'll tell us. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
The great outdoors of Wisconsin is as easy as ABC 123.
Ooh, nice.
This is Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish. That over there, that crazy lady over there is Danielle Fairman, our chef, Ellie Lawton, Chris Casper's on the show. We just wrapped. We have got, why is she laughing?
Because you said that crazy lady, and I'm like, well, which one's he talking about?
Both of you. Definitely both of you.
Thank you.
Chris Casper is our guest today. Works for Civic Media, but I got a chance to know him and realize we got a lot in common in the great outdoors, and he's got some wacky stories. In fact, I've been teasing it. I'm very excited to hear about this story.
Yes, Chris I'm ready
Casper
for it.
Decided to go camping in a class 5 hurricane.
Well, were you already there? Did you decide to go?
Did you see it? Like,
the weatherman said it's going to be horrible weather. Let's go.
Yeah. This is going to harken back to the Boy Scouts of America, and we wanted to go on a sailing trip. So we spent about a year and a half going through getting Red Cross certified for sailing and did all the things and got the merit badges. And we went down to the Florida Sea Base in Key Isla Mirada. It's a Boy Scout camp down there, and we were there for a couple of days, and it became clear that Hurricane Andrew was barreling down on us, so they evacuated us out of the Keys to Miami. And it was, you know, if any of you have ever been to the Keys, it's just a 2-lane highway.
Yep. Mm-hmm. One way in, one way out.
And it was, you know, like you could have walked faster than the train of cars. evacuating. And as it turns out, the storm shifted north the last 12 hours and they evacuated us to the dead center of the storm.
Oh man.
So they evacuated us to Florida International University, which was a very safe place away from the ocean and the storm surge. But it ended up being the very center of the storm to the point where we could walk out during the eye of the hurricane and birds chirping and sunny day.
I always wondered if that's real. Like if that's really feels, it's got to be one of the most eerie feelings in the world.
It was like crazy storms, you know, sirens going off, the whole thing. And then walking outside and it's beautiful. And then, holy crap, we better get back inside right now kind of thing.
So how long did that center stay over the top of you?
I would say the eye was maybe an hour. Wow. I mean, I was a teenager, and I'm 48 now, so like we're going back.
But you know it's coming. You know the hell is coming back.
Yep.
And what a crazy feeling.
Yes.
The tail end certainly did, and came back, and I was there with wonderful adults and leaders in our troop, and I think there were about 8 of us as children. Teenagers and a little bit younger on the trip, and we were stranded.
Well, this is what you guys were preparing for. Survival instincts, like this is what all those badges were for.
Yeah. That's a great point, Danielle, because the motto for the Boy Scouts is be prepared.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
So were you prepared?
Were you guys prepared?
Yeah, did you actually
we weren't prepared for a hurricane necessarily, but we were prepared with our values that Joel so eloquently rattled off before. I don't even think I could rattle those off that quickly. But we're like, well, hey, we're stranded. We're Boy Scouts. We're here to help. So we volunteered with the Red Cross for about 3 days to hey, we're here. We're Boy Scouts. We're going to do whatever we can. And I think I made tens of thousands of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for everybody that was hanging out there.
It formed my love of corned beef hash
out of a giant 1 gallon can. And,
wonderful.
And so that experience was formative. And I'm like, I'm a Minnesota farm boy. What the heck am I doing in the middle of a hurricane? But I mean, there we were.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that is an experience I will never ever forget.
And nobody got hurt. Nobody, everybody made it.
Well,
out
none
fine
of us got hurt. Yeah, a lot of people got hurt.
Nobody in your group got hurt.
And we had stayed at Homestead Air Force Base on the way down, and like a week before, and that got wiped off the map. Like just gone.
Jeez.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
So have you returned to the Keys since?
Not as an adult, I have not. Mm-hmm. I've been to Florida quite a few times since then, but we got friends that have snowbirded, as the word is, and are in Florida, and things are not going to get better there with the hurricanes and things. Like I don't think their forecast this year for the hurricane season, it's not a good outlook for that. So. But we were there, and it was an experience that I will never, ever forget.
Yeah, no kidding. And speaking of the Boy Scout motto, be prepared, that reminds me of preparing food.
Yeah.
Because everything reminds me of food somehow.
I love the story when you got to the sandwiches and the corned beef hash.
Wow.
You know, who should be the chef in the group? Definitely Ellie. Yes. She would sit and make 1,000 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
With the biggest smile on my face.
And meticulous about the first one and the 1,000th that I can just about guarantee. What, you know, when you came to my house the first time, did you, to set up the studio, Chris, did you think you'd be leaving with a bag full of raw wild meat?
I hadn't even thought about it, to be honest, but I sorry about almost knocking the wildebeest off the wall.
That's
the
okay. Oh, many people do.
Yes, everybody does.
Our field producer, Noah, almost knocks something off the wall every week. So.
Yes.
Every time we say, Noah, please be careful. I don't want you to get hurt. And he conks his head on one of the various animals.
I want to clarify, when he says, I didn't mean knock the wildebeest off the wall, that's not just a saying.
Literally.
There's so many things
There's
on
literally
this
a
wall.
Wildebeest yeah. that yeah. many like, people knock their head thing. Into. Yeah, that is a fact.
Alligators, so, turkeys, bears,
your best bet is to just walk in there on all fours and just stay down. Stay down low.
Stay down.
So out of all the
You're
things that he gave
especially
you.
Especially for me, being 6'6".
Yeah, so. Oh my gosh.
Out of all the things he gave you, what was your favorite? And have you had those before, whatever he gave you?
Oh, man. I think maybe my favorite is the most recent one that I sent him a picture of. And it was a young hen, wild turkey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you sent me along with at least 20 or if not 30 pounds of food. And yeah. I love to
cook.
That
was awesome. What did you make out of the turkey?
Yeah, I want to
know
that.
It was a wok stir fry.
Ooh.
And, use a little grapeseed oil, fried up the veggies, and you know, chopped it up into edible bites. The hen and topped it off with some Japanese barbecue sauce over a bed of brown rice, and it was just mouthwatering. It was amazing. Yeah,
that was your first time cooking wild turkey?
No, it was not. Not my first time drinking it either.
Yum. So you had that with your stir fry, hey?
Yes. I'm big into smoking meats. Low and slow is the way to go.
Yeah.
I have lots of friends that I don't do a lot of hunting anymore, but I grew up doing a lot of it and fishing, a lot of ice fishing. Still do that. And it was just so good. And to know that, like, a personal friend of mine, like, harvested this meat, and it just makes it all that much more special.
I
so
Well, I appreciate that, and I couldn't agree with you more. If you haven't had Wild Game, I have a quick question for you. People always ask me, what is the difference between wild turkey and a turkey you buy from the store? And I tell them, if you prepare it right, you can't tell the difference, really.
Mm-hmm. That's very
I really
true.
Don't think you can. And would you say it turned out that way? Could you? Can you even really tell the difference if you do it right?
100%. 100%. And my big thing with, like, especially with fish and poultry is brine it overnight.
Yeah.
That's a Ooh. Huge thing. You brine it overnight and it gets a lot of that sometimes what people call, oh, it's bitter or gamey. You just got to do a little reading, little bit of studying up and, you know, brine it overnight and do the things and... Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's better. If
you're speaking
anything,
my love
better.
Language, man. Brining.
Brining is your love language?
Yeah, brining, marinating.
Not receiving gifts or
no,
physical touch. It's brining.
No, brining. Brining and marinating.
Okay. Well, I'm going to marinate on that, I guess. What, Danielle, if you're listening to the show and you don't catch it live, how can you see and listen to this amazing show if you miss us? Saturdays at 11 on the 21 Civic Media stations throughout Wisconsin.
I love that you said that because we have a buffet of Taco John's in front of us right now.
And that is also marinating.
Yes.
It is marinating in the heavy juices of the warmth of the studio right now.
You can listen to us on Facebook Live, which you can see at the whole entire smorgasbord of Taco John's. You can also listen to us on Spotify and Apple Music, but also you can go on YouTube and you get to see it as well. But if you go onto Facebook, please give us a like. We would love to hear your thoughts. So please send us a message and we will try to talk about it on air. Yes.
And check out our weekly recipes that we're posting on Facebook.
Yes.
Yes. So we've got, I want to give a quick shout out to Megan Salazar, who is...
Salad Bar.
Megan Salad Bar. everything relates to food, who is really taking over the helm on our Facebook page. Join our Facebook page. Send us photos. We will post them. We'll talk about it on the air. Ask us questions through the Facebook page. You know, listen, we love to learn on Raised in Wisco as much as we love to share what we know about the great outdoors of Wisconsin. So please feel free to contact us through Facebook. Tell us what you like we're doing. Tell us what you want to hear more of. I'm going to start, though. This is going to take a little bit because today we're doing our favorite casseroles for the mm-hmm. cooking segment of the show. And I want everybody here to talk about their favorite casserole. And if you're listening out there and you're not a casserole fan, or you say to yourself, oh man, I've gone to enough family reunions or potlucks and casserole, 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 I'm telling you, you haven't been creative enough, because casserole just means a few different ingredients put together and you can become really creative, especially when you're talking about your wild game or your fish that's either caught in a local stream or lake or purchase from the store. And also, one thing that's important to me is that everybody understand, you do not need to have wild game to do our recipes. Every recipe we talk about has a protein. Just about every recipe has a protein. Sure, we do some sides that don't have a meat in it, but a meat or a fish. But you do not need to have wild game. You can apply our recipes. Chef Lawton explains them so simply. You can apply her recipes and the recipes we talk about on this show. You can do them at home, and you can use store-purchased meat, and you don't even have to buy the expensive store-purchased meat. Most of the recipes we do, you can use your much less expensive cuts, and we're going to talk a little bit about that when we talk about our casseroles. I want to have everybody just quickly name their casseroles, and then we're going to get into them. Danielle, what casserole are you going to talk about?
I do love my pot pie casseroles.
Ooh, perfect. Chef Lawton?
Cowboy casserole.
Cowboy casserole. Interested to know what that is. Chris Casper, you got a favorite casserole?
Reuben.
Ooh, I like it. Jacob, you like casseroles? You got one in mind?
Tuna.
Tuna casserole.
Pulling out the tuna casserole. I'm going to say wild turkey casserole. We're going to get to how to make all of those. This is Raised in Wisconsin.
engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Voting Rights Lab reports there were 59 state bills introduced on proof of citizenship for voter registration this year, and 160 bills concerning voter ID. A handful have made it near the finish line, but not all have passed. Since President Donald Trump's baseless accusations of mail-in voting fraud in 2020 and his unfounded claims of widespread non-citizen voting in the 2024 election, Republican-dominated legislatures have raced to pass stricter voter ID and proof of citizenship laws, despite no widespread abuse of either. In New Hampshire, versions of SB 218 were advanced, requiring submission of ID and proof of citizenship for absentee registration, and are now in a committee of conference. In Texas, a high-priority documentary proof of citizenship bill died without action at the end of the session. In Texas alone, there were 15 bills introduced to provide documentary proof of citizenship and 10 tightening voter ID laws. Nevada Governor Joe Lombardo surprisingly vetoed a bipartisan voter ID bill attempting to codify a widely supported ballot initiative. Democrats negotiated expanded ballot drop boxes in exchange for supporting voter ID. His veto statement said the bill did not address implementing voter ID for mail-in ballots. Wyoming and Indiana passed proof of citizenship earlier this year. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Boy, baby, this is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman is next to me, woo-hoo! The world famous culinarian chef. Yes. Ellie Lawton joins us, and Chris Casper's on the show with us tonight.
Do you guys know that Jacob just played the theme song for my casserole?
Oh, you know what? I bet it wasn't. I'm going to bet you it was not even by coincidence, because that's the kind of guy Jacob is.
Yeah, right?
Jacob, you think around the corner sometimes, and
you're
I like
best,
it.
You're the best, Jacob.
I do like that. That's
and
for sure.
I think the most important thing is that even if you don't, you should let people think that you did. Who knows?
Fake it till you make it, brother. Fake it till you make it. We're doing casseroles for the cooking segment today. I'm going to keep mine wild game, but I'm going to start with Chef Ellie Lawton,
yes,
because that's why she gets paid the big bucks to be on the show as the official chef.
I get paid
of
in Taco John's.
In Wisco. You get paid in Taco John's you bought tonight.
Oh my God, what is happening? I bought, you're drinking out of my Yeti. What is happening here?
Hey, it's a family affair. It's family style. That's what they call that.
Casserole. Well, it's not really casserole season here in Wisconsin, but honestly.
Is it not though?
Can you can have casserole all year round, right? So casserole, you guys might go back and forth. I know some people that are like, you know what? Lasagna is not a casserole.
Yes, it is.
XYZ is not a casserole.
Yes, it is.
Casserole is the dish you bake it in and you serve it out of. Okay.
Okay.
Wait, can we say that again for the people in the back, aka Josh Belsky?
Josh, don't make me come over and give you a lecture on casseroles.
Yes, he does not say it's a he does not call it a casserole dish.
Oh,
just Josh. The glass dish. I'm like, what?
It's a casserole dish.
All right, well, we'll handle that later on with Josh. So my casserole, I've talked about it before. It's cowboy casserole. Everyone always asks me for the recipe. It is so easy. 2 pounds of whatever ground meat you want. I use venison beef. It turns out great. Brown that. Add some onions, some peppers that are sauteed, a little bit of salsa. You're measuring with your heart. about a cup of barbecue sauce. Whatever veggies you have, throw it in there, saute it up. And the topping is going to be just a cornbread mixture. You can get the pre-mixed stuff or you can make your own from scratch. Throw some jalapenos on top. Bake that for 375 for about 45 minutes till the cornbread is done. And you have an awesome casserole. And then serve it with salsa and sour cream and avocado and some right wing sauce and all the toppings.
That sounds fantastic.
That's mine.
See, that sounds like a good rain day.
Hey, everybody have a great week. See you now. My mouth is watering for sure. Danielle, tell us about your casserole.
Well, I'm a Popeye fanatic with your Joel Clayfish. Your pot pie is so good. But
yes,
the casserole,
it's
a lot easier. You can either make it with noodles or get the graham biscuits. Just bake your biscuits first. And I love making everything on the Traeger. So,
ooh, yeah.
Just bake your...
What's your meat of choice in your casserole?
Well, that's my girl right there, the Traeger.
I love using steak.
Yep.
Because I just love steak. Yeah. I love steak.
You are a steak
Red
girl.
Meat, steak. I'm all about it. But you can use chicken, you can use turkey, you can use whatever protein that you like, just put it in there. It's
put
going
it
to
what
work.
What else are you putting in the filling?
I go nice and easy. I like frozen vegetables and I do cans of cream of chicken or cream of mushroom.
Okay.
And then I put
that's
it all
a
together.
Classic Wisconsin casserole,
yes,
right?
It is.
There.
Yes. Yeah.
And you cannot go wrong with it. You just can't go wrong with it.
Yeah.
And even if you have a tougher cut of meat or a less tender cut of meat, when you roll it on that Traeger low and slow all day long,
so good.
It gets so tender.
Gotta put it in a cast iron. I, we're talking about casseroles.
I do like that.
I do love cooking cast iron.
That technically makes it a what, chef? That's called a cobbler, Dutch oven. Then, correct? French.
A
Dutch oven.
Dutch oven.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
Well, if it was a Dutch oven, it'd have a lid on it.
Oh, that's true.
So we're just going to stick with this as her casserole and move on.
Okay. Yeah, it's my casserole.
Whoa,
sorry I blew up.
Sorry I blew up, everybody. Casper, what's your casserole?
Well, I do a Reuben tater tot, and I'm from Minnesota, so we call it a hot dish.
Man.
So you got to excuse me.
A hot dish.
Hot dish and casserole is the same thing.
Love me a hot dish.
So however you procure your corned beef... I mean, it could just be as easy as some sliced corned beef for sandwiches, and you chop it up and throw it in, a little bit of sauerkraut, a little bit of Swiss cheese, shredded, throw it in there with some Thousand Island and mix that all together and put it in the bottom of the casserole or hot dish pan and spread it out and then neurotically place the tater tots on top of it, glaze it with some Thousand Island. Then some Swiss on top of it. Throw it in the Traeger at 450 or the oven at 450. And if you really want to give that marbled rye taste, grind a little bit of caraway seeds.
Love it.
Yes.
And it tastes like a Reuben. I swear to God, it tastes like a Reuben.
I want to know how on earth I am so full and so hungry.
Joel, let's get to your casserole.
What's your answer?
I'm going to roll my wild turkey, wild goose, or venison in the crock pot all day long with a basic recipe, water, lemon juice, some provider seasonings, and a cup of oil. Shred the heck out of it. Take the stock out of that. Make a roux and a gravy. Put it back in with your shredded meat. Put that shredded meat on the base. And then I cover it with stuffing croutons.
Ooh.
And then I cover that with mashed potatoes. And then I sprinkle chives and bacon bits on top and throw it in the oven to get crispy on the top. And I've got a wild turkey casserole, wild goose casserole.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, Oh boy.
That's Thanksgiving in a dish.
That is.
Yes.
And you know, it
that
is.
That sounds amazing.
It's amazing. Like
and
it.
It's the heat of summer right now, but don't be scared of them casseroles. Serve them outside when it gets a little cooler. We love having you along. Again, another Raised in Wisco that went by in the flash of a pan. That's Danielle Fairman. That's Chef Ellie Lawton. Over there is Chris Casper. I'm Joel Clayfish. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco.
Is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump has set a two-week time frame to determine if the U.S. will get involved in the military fight between Israel and Iran. ABC's Marcus Moore is in Tel Aviv with the latest.
Iran and its proxy groups have threatened the U.S. that if they were to get more directly involved, that U.S. interests in the region, particularly bases that are here and any other U.S. interests, would then be targets for retaliation.
The president expected to meet later today with his National Security Council. We're expected to hear from Mahmoud Khalil today. He is the Columbia University graduate student the Trump administration sought to deport. A federal immigration judge ordered him freed on bail. He had been detained at a facility in Louisiana.